16 through verse 29. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, how we came through the nations which you passed by. And you have been there, abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, as there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it came to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil and of the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you and the stranger shall come down from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of that land and the sickness when the Lord has laid it upon it, and that the whole land burning, that it is not sown nor beareth, but any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, at which the Lord overthrew in his anger and his wrath. Even all nations shall say, wherefore, saith the Lord, what hath the Lord done thus unto this land? What message the heat, what meaneth the heat of this great anger? Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger, and in wrath, and in great indignation, and cast them into another land, as it is this day. These secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children, forever, that we may do all the words of the Lord. So as we read this lesson tonight, and we hope it'll be a help to someone, if I title it in any way, it'll be a formula for facing the future. Now, we know today that there's so many things that's come to pass, that there's not very many more that can happen, only they get worse and worse. But we need a formula for facing the future. Now, you know, today, if you're going to bake something, you go buy something, you have to mix it up to have a formula for it. And so today, I'd like to think, as we think along this, a little thought that came to me yesterday, and it was just thinking about the things of the Lord, and I thought of this thought. We need quality today in serving the Lord. Need quality, not quantity. We need quality. And what I mean by that, we as God's people, God's preachers, God's deacons, and all church people, we need to have quality in the work we're doing today. Quantity, or if you get a large crowd, that don't necessarily do it all, does it? We have to have quality, whether it's one, two, or three. And so this formula here, and in that 22nd verse, I'll read one more time. Secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So we know today that God made man, made everything therein, and he said, seek after him, you shall happily find him. God put his church in the world, and God is not here in the flesh. We know that today, but God had left his people here for a reason. I conducted a funeral of a member union Saturday, 98 years old. He joined the church the year I was born, 1940. And you know, I looked at his life, and I knew him for a long time. And me and him were good friends. He kind of nicknamed me like Brother Lowe did. And every time he'd see me, I don't care where it was at, he'd see my preacher from Russell Springs, and that's just the way he always said it. But he lived a good life. And so as I told the family that day, I said, when a person lives that long, God, you done something good for God. And God let you live because you was very productive for him and done quality work. We as God's people today are quality. God makes us, God calls us to preach the gospel, but we cannot preach without the word of the Lord. Now, we can study or we can read, and I used to know a preacher that every sermon he preached, he preached 1 week before he heard his pastor preach it. But quality is something that's good. If you get someone to build a home for you, and he don't do very good quality, Brother Joe comes up and asks you who built your house. You say his quality of work is not very good. We as God's people, not only ministers, we have to have the quality that will stand and stand and stand forever. Now, when we're talking about the Lord, we talk about the Spirit of the Lord, God's cause, and the quality of God's work will stand forever and forevermore. It may be a lot of people drift away, but the quality that God may put out, he put out the best quality, the best material that could be made. So then when he calls us in men or chooses you as a Savior soul, he puts a quality there that we can work out the things that God would have us to do. So here we're thinking about the former profession of preacher. Now the people of Israel in this lesson were at the threshold. And behind them were the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the deliverance from slavery, all those things had been promised, and the golden calf and the faithfulness of grumbling. So this was a promise, and God promised them that. So we see before then was the promised land, but we see that a place of uncertainty and danger in this world today. We see it's a place of great promise and potential if we use the quality material that God provided for you and I in this book. And that's the Spirit of God, that we know that we have to do things in order to get people to come to the house of God. We got to have things in order to have the Spirit of God. It's like, you know, you own a business, and if you don't take care of it, or if you don't take care of your banker, it won't be long you'll be out of business because you got nothing to work with. And that's the way that I'm afraid of today in this world that we're living in, because of the quality of the ministry that we have today. The quality is not there. And so anybody can preach the gospel. I know that. But not anybody can be a pastor. I believe there's a difference in that. And even anybody can be a member of a church or go to the Lord and go to church and sit there. But if they ain't got the quality to get things done, they're no benefit to God and no benefit to nobody else. So we're facing a future today that, and we read there where God has all the secrets and the secret things belongs to him. So we do not know what our future is. You know the things that happened in California? It could happen right here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. There's no reason or cause for that. Just to disrupt people he didn't know. Somebody could just walk in their church and just start shooting because we don't know. But see, we need to take the quality that God has given us, because we do not know what we're going to face in the future. So we see then that we stand at a threshold today. Our church does. Not of a new land, but of a new life, a new year. We're beginning a new year, a new stage, and things changes every year. Things changes every year except Jesus Christ. So then today we're facing the future. How do we face that? By knowing the Lord and by following the Lord, and then making sure that we check our list and make sure we've done the things that God had for us to do. Sometimes we'll do things and God did not tell us to do that. But when we're working for the Lord, making any decision on the Lord's behalf, we need to pray and ask God to help us to be able to do that. A formula. And we said we need quality in our working for the Lord today. You're not going to get a carpenter if you know he shortcuts. Might put in a cheap piece of material or might put in something that falls. You want to get somebody that uses real quality, and when he gets it done, you don't have to worry about it. That's what God wants. Someone that he can trust with the word of God and trust with his people, that we make sure we got the quality before we ever start. You know, if you ain't got the right material, you'll have trouble building a building or anything. If you got the right material, the last piece will go on just right. So then we're facing the future, and we see behind us our salvation. We see that God's provisions of our salvation, he gave his son for us. So then, after Jesus saved us and went back to heaven as a mediator, we are supposed to recognize him. We are supposed to call upon him, and we're supposed to listen to him to help us make the right decisions in life that things might grow and prosper. That's what Jesus, he come to save the lost. But he's our mediator. So sometimes we try to do things and leave the Lord out of it. So see, we can't do that. We have to have that quality that only comes from God. You know, when he told Noah to build the ark, he told Noah what to build the ark out of, told him exactly what to use. And the Bible tells us that Noah done it just like God said it. So then if we do our services and our church work as God would have us to do, we will enjoy going to the house of the Lord. You know, it's good when you go. And I can remember as a young boy, you'd go to church and house would be full. And them old farmers have a hat thrown up over there, and them old women have the bonnet on. Get to singing and get to shouting. How could they do that? Because they had the quality that God had put in their heart to exercise that quality and exercise that spirit. So you have to know how to follow the Lord. There's a lot of people don't know how to follow the Lord. A lot of people think preachers getting up and pulling your coat up undoing your shirt and running down the aisles and nobody knows what to say. I had a lady one time told me, she said, "Brother Roy, I just wish you'd slow down." I said, "Well, I can't." She says, "Why?" I said, "Well," I said, "the Lord told us to be as he was." And I said, "The Lord was fast." "No, how do you know that?" I said, "Read Genesis, made the world 6 days. If that ain't fast, you tell me what it is." And she just laughed. "They didn't say no more to me." So we have to be, as she said, enthused about coming to the house of God. Sometimes we know what God wants us to do. He wants us to come. He wants us to pray. He wants us to study. And he wants us to follow the Lord when he is moving. So see, we need that quality about it. We need to have good material. You can't have a revival if you don't know a preacher cannot help in a revival do any good if he don't know how to tell people to be saved by the grace of God. He can't do that. So that should be our main joy today, is people being saved. You know, as a young boy growing up in Russell County, you had a revival. They didn't ask you how many got saved. They said who all got saved. They won't know the names of them because people got saved just about every revival. Bible I was saved in, there was 22 people told being saved. And we had 20 to be baptized. You don't hear that today. You scare people to death. I was at Riverside, that same creek where I was baptized back in the summer. And there's two or three churches met there for baptizing. The field was full. I don't know how many was there. They said there's close to 200. But I almost shouted there myself, because that's where I was baptized at. Could feel the Spirit of God. Look, we as God's people, that is how we get the material to be qualified to do the things that God would have us do. When we praise God, he'll give us that spirit. Wouldn't it be good to be walking down the road and start shouting, scare somebody to death? But my friend, listen, this is a form of profession of the future, and we need to do that God would have us to do. We need to be qualified in the work of the Lord. Qualified to know when the Spirit speaks to us. Spirit is stronger than we are. Yeah, the devil tell you not to testify. The devil tell you not to sing. But see, we need that qualified spirit. Be qualified to do whatever God would have you to do. See, we're out here today watching TV on that out in California. They said even the doctors that operate on little babies was in there helping and operating on adults. See, you have to know what to do. You have to know, and that's why God gives us good doctors. But anyway, we want to hurry along here. So we see that God's provision of salvation, we had it, it's here, we had it, and we've got it. So the experience of both, I believe, hardships and providence and sin and all this stuff, people just grumble about everything, but we are much like the Israelites, that's understanding of it. We really are. But they were ready to march forward, yet fearful. ready to march forward, but yet fearful. So, you know, so this formula that God gives us is to follow him. And this formula, my friend, I believe is a good one. And so God gives us, as he gave to Israel, he gave us a formula. He gave them a formula for facing the future. What, we do not know what we're going to face because secret things belong to God. But I believe with all my heart, I've been preaching 53 years, and I can see a great change. Pastored about 12 churches, about 8 missions, and I don't know how many radio programs. And we don't know. We don't know what the future holds. I never thought I'd live to be 70 years old. Never thought I'd be preaching here at this time. But my friend, listen, God wants us to be a qualified workmanship for him. Have that material. Have the quality that we need. What is the quality we need? The spirit, the faith. God give us the tools. So faith today, it needs to be so strong that when we speak of something, we can speak as we see that. But we don't do it that way, do it. We'll ask the Lord to give us faith, and we'll say, I believe the Lord to do this, and so forth. You know, we don't know, do we? When I was pastor at Union Church, and I first came there, they had them old bench seats, and they're just pinchy. And one Sunday morning, I counted 52 pillars. That morning, I said, well, we're going to have to get some new seats or new preacher, because I said, we're not going to get no visitors coming in sitting on these seats. We talked about it, and at church, and one of the good old deacons, good friend of mine, 90 years old, still living, still going, he said, do you think we could do that? I said, no, I don't think it. He said, why are you pushing? I said, because I believe it, and I know we can do it. One of the ladies in the church had come to me. She said, Brother Roy, she had plenty of money. She said, you push for them seats. She says, I figured up if every family paid about $300 and something, $340 something, we could do it. She said, you push for them seats, but promise me you won't tell nobody while I'm living. I said, okay. So she said, when you get they get them done, she said, you come tell me what the check needs to be. They got them done, and I went to her, and I told her. And I said, sister, I said, we had about $1,500 left over. See, I knew. Had I knew? Of course, I'd check. She told me. And I didn't tell nobody till the day of her funeral. The day of her funeral, I had to tell them. So, see, God has got ways of getting things done. God can help us when it looks like it's impossible, you know. And I believe that today. I want to tell you another little faith story. I don't mean to, but I might help y'all. When we was in Kansas, and they got ready to build a new church after I moved back, and a lot of people around here said they'd come. They notified everybody was going to build a certain day. On Monday morning, a young man of the church and Brother Holder showed up out there at 8 o'clock, sat there at 10 o'clock, not a soul showed up. Out there sat about $40,000, $50,000 worth of material to start with. Directly, here come a truck. Had three men in it. And the guy got out, and he said, if y'all going to sit there, we ain't with this roof on every Sunday. They was not Missionary Baptist. They was Church of Christ. They helped to get that building done. So see, the people that they thought was going to come didn't come, but God had somebody else that did come. My God can do anything. I don't, you know, we used to say things, you know, we can't do this or we can't do that. And I remember when I was a young boy, had a job in Illinois, and they wanted me to stay. And I said, I'm just too young and don't have a college education or anything. That afternoon, supervisor came in, a retired professor from the University of Illinois. He said, I want to talk to you. Okay, what did I do? He said, listen, it's not how much education you got. It's how you use what you got. I stayed with him, made store manager, traveled all over the country, quit when I started preaching, because I had to work Sundays. But anyway, the quality that we need today is Christians that puts God first in their life. God first. God's first. Family second, and then the other you can choose. I guess I always choose who provided my living for me. So then, as we think about this, we see here that we're like Israel was, and God gives us, as he gave to Israel, a formula. So then we see then that another part of this formula was, he said the secret things belongs to the Lord our God. Now, are the things that we don't know about. See, we don't know how long we're going to live. I didn't know I'd ever be preaching. You don't know what you'll ever be doing. But the formula but having the right quality to do the job. Not quantity, quality. How good it is. If you can buy something that lasts 2 years, and then you can go buy something that lasts 10 years, which one are you going to buy? Most of the time, it's something you know will last 10 years. This salvation will last forever. God can help us. He is a problem solver. He can solve any problem that's within His will and to benefit His cause. God can solve that. So we don't worry about those things. I've always preached, it's a sin to worry. Me and my wife fusses over that all the time. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. We're not to worry if we do what we ought to do. We got that formula. We're, as Brother Lowe said, we're enthused about this Jesus, that we want to please Him and want to see someone shout the loving grace of God. Also, we see that the events of the nation and the world today, God is not satisfied with what's happening in the world today. He's not satisfied with what's happening in our missionary Baptist churches. What's happening in our missionary Baptist churches, we are not filling the seats up. We're not filling the seats up. We're not seeing people saved like we ought to. That is not God's fault. It's because we're not using the quality that God, the material that God gave us to teach and preach and practice those things. So we see our health and we see financial success. We also, you know, these things belong to God. They're not for Him to know. Not us. But my friend, listen, I believe today that we need to let the day's own troubles be sufficient for the day. Don't worry about tomorrow. What I worry about this day, and then I say when I try to get up in the morning, Lord, what can I do for You today? And I got that phrase one time from a boss I had in the car business. He'd come by and he'd say, preacher, what are you going to do for me today? And you know, I've thought of that and I applied that. And so I try to tell Jesus, this is what I'm going to do for You today. I'm going to tell somebody about You. I'm going to ask somebody to come to the house of the Lord. I'm going to visit the sick. So these are things that we need to do. So this does not mean God is personally responsible. God saved us. He let us be created. But we are responsible for ourselves. I'm responsible for my salvation. I'm responsible for the work that I do. I'm responsible to make sure that I've got the material that I need, the quality to say that we have to have the Spirit. You cannot preach without the Spirit. You can make a mockery. You can't sing good without the Spirit. You can't pray good without the Spirit. I've heard people that could sing, and I'd rather have them singing as some preachers in a revival with me because they had the quality of the Spirit with them. So we see here that human error plays a great role in our life. How do we make errors in our life? Well, we want to watch TV, or we want to go here with the children, or we want to go with that. You know, me and my first wife made a statement when our child was born. We said, Lord, You have them have good health. We'll take them to church as soon as they're born, and we'll drive them to bed. I mean, we took them to Bethel one Sunday morning, 5th day of January, or 6th day of January, something like that, cold, snow, and some of them jumped all over my wife. She said, the Lord gave him to us. I believe we're supposed to take him to church. We promised we would, and we are. And so we done that. Come along school time, boys good, was good in sports, and I went and talked to the coach, and I said, I appreciate you, and I want my boys to do good in school, and I want them to play good sports. But I says, on Sunday, is out. I said, before they even start. I said, now, if you can go along with that, why, we'll be glad to let them sign up. And it worked out. But see, I had to make an effort, didn't I? I went to them and explained to them why. And every one of my children was saved at an early age. And I'm sure they probably done things that I didn't like. But I don't know of anything they done I didn't like. But they all got saved at an early age. And I promised God I'd take them. So we see today that God doesn't know all things and permit hardships. He don't cause hardships to happen to us, but He can let them happen to us. So my friend, I believe this morning that the first application is don't be obsessed with looking into the future, but face the future with a formula. Follow God, you don't have to worry about the future. You don't have to worry about where you're going to have money paid for your home. You won't have to worry about these other things if you're facing the future with the quality that God has provided you with. Give you a good mind. Give you a good heart. And you open that heart up and let the Spirit. God don't want to come in if you don't want Him. If you don't want him, he knows you don't want him, he ain't going to peck on you. But if he knows you want him, he's going to be listening. You may look down and say, Brother Bill, Brother Joe, Brother Bull, I'm going to be with you today. You know, there have been times that I didn't know what was going to happen that day. I didn't know how this was going to happen or that happened. But, you know, I just look up and I say, Lord, you know all things. It's in your hands. God can work it out. And God will work it out. But we got to have that quality that from heaven that we can be able to preach. I might go a little over 30 minutes tonight. I don't know. But anyway, we see that in this lesson that there's many in the world today that are just they're preoccupied with other things. Church does not come first. Church does not come first. And that's bad preacher. A lot of preachers in lifetime had to lose a job, and I don't know what the problem was there. I've never lost a job over preaching. When I went to a place to get to work, I told my name is Berlin Roy, missionary Baptist preacher, come first, and a professional car salesman, be to your benefit to consider hiring me. And I never had no trouble when I needed to be off. Worked at General Motors, and a call come to go to Ohio. I was a guy, but I wasn't planning on telling anything, but might help you a little bit. Come to me, and I was laid off, and they called me the pastor of church in Ohio, and I moved in time to come back. Well, of course, I was a good worker. I'd done what they wanted me to do. They could take three men off a job, put me on it, and I could run it. I learned everything in the foundry, and I drove a lift truck. But anyway, union said they'd been too good to me, and they couldn't do that more. So then they offered to let me work 3 days a week. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, be off Monday and Friday, and hold my seniority. And I told him, I said, well, I'm on the restroom, going in and take a shower, and I'm going to leave about 7 o'clock. I said, I'll be back in here before I leave. My wife in Ohio crying like a baby because I was giving up General Motors. So anyway, I went back in there, and they said, well, what's the verdict? I said, I quit you 1 hour ago. I said, I'm going to follow the Lord. He ain't regretted it. You know, I could have been retired now, drawing about $3,000 a month. Draw a little check, not much. But see, we got to follow the Lord. We got to do what God wants us to do. So we see today that there's been in this religious world, they're just a preoccupied with better selling things and just wants to do everything. But my friend, we need to take this quality and need to have quality in the work of the Lord. There's no reason to build a house if you put it together with Elmer's glue and leave the nails out of it. It ain't going to stand. And if we do our gospel work without this right material and the things that God give us and without quality being in it, it ain't going to stand, is it? You see a lot of people go out and start to boom, 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 it's gone. My friend, listen, our church had a great foundation, Jesus Christ, but we've let him down. We have not took that quality that God provided for you and I. Preachers don't do it a lot of times. They worry about popularity or something else. Some people they call pastors just don't look at the part, the quality, or what God would have done. You need, when you're searching for a pastor, I know you are today, and I'm not campaigning either. When you're searching for a pastor, you need to look for someone that you can go back and see if he used quality work, how his work was, how the church growed. Or was there any division in the church while he was there? How many people got saved under his ministry? And see then how many bad thoughts is in there. See, we have to check it. That's why we're members. We will not take a member unless we're satisfied that they can tell a good experience being saved by the grace of God. Why? It's because we won't have the confusion in church and be doing everything because we knew they were saved by the grace of God. The quality is the most important thing that we need today. And I'm going to have to hurry. But as we look at this lesson tonight, and we know the Bible's not meant to be a jigsaw puzzle. We know that today. And we know the second application of this future belongs to God, and we should not worry about it. We should not worry about the future. God is going to determine when he's going to come back. Hey, Brother Lowe over here, 90-something years old. I preached at this funeral Saturday. The man was 98, and ain't been very long since he's at church. So we don't need to worry about when the Lord's coming back. Just make sure that we've used the quality that God's given us, that he'd have more people saved by the grace of God. As long as people's being saved by the grace of God, and God's people are on the battlefield working for him with quality in their work, he'll let us stand. Now, but God's going to strike one day as well. We know that. We don't know when it's going to be or how long. But my friend, listen, We need to make sure that when we get ready to leave this world, when the preacher goes to say the good words over you, you're already up there in the Lord because of the quality of work you've done. God blesses his people when he does things. We take a carpenter. Even a car man, if you're selling cars. If you sell good cars or good clothing, whatever it is, people hear us about it. They'll come to your business. But if you rip them off and do nothing, they won't. So God wants his church to have that quality material in it. They'll stand the fire, my friend, and be ready to go to live with the Lord one day after a while. So we see then, we see wasted time and energy I believe that the things are revealed belongs to us and our children. And I believe forever that we may all do the works of this law. So we're not to assume for ourselves that these things belong to God, but we are to work and labor. Our church is not growing today. It is not God's fault. It's not God's fault. I took church, I don't know why I'm telling all these spirits now, but I feel like it. If you don't teach them, shut up. When I went to Ohio, and I checked the record book, the little church at Liberty, been 10 years since they'd recorded a soul being saved in that church. 10 whole years. A lot of people died. A lot of people moved away. And we got to think about it. And I got to talk about it, and I looked at the books. And I checked back, and you know, the revival started second Sunday night, or second Friday night in June. They start on Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, and Monday morning. And 5 or 6 families took up Red Bowling Springs or Tompkinsville or somewhere for revival. So we was talking about it. I was talking about one of the deacons one night. Come revival time, they'd got a, what I always called a big preacher, you know. And he was supposed to come, but he'd looked in the association book. Another church called him, paid more money, and I guess that's why he didn't come. But anyway, one of the deacons got up on Sunday, or his conference, and on Sunday, and he started crying. I'd mentioned the time to say revival. He said, we ain't had nobody saved 10 years. This revival's been set the same time. Part of it takes off on vacation. And even I've done it, he said, and not leave very many there. He said, I'm going to make a motion. If y'all don't like it, just vote it down. He said, I'm going to make a motion that Brother Roy sets a revival, sets a time, and calls a helper. Well, one of them jumped up and said, I second the motion. That's the way it done. So it come time for it. I said, well, we're going to do a little different. I said, we're going to have a start on Friday night. Not the weekend, y'all go on vacation. And I says, on Monday, we might break it, we might go not. We'll start with a 3-day run. So then I called Brother Bryson to help me. 2 saved in the first revival, 3 saved in the second revival, one of them was my son. And so we had about 3 revivals a year, but nobody took off and went on vacation. See, we got to put God first. If you let your vacation stay away from revival, my brain is wrong. If you say, and I've always, of course, I'm not telling you what you'll do, but I've always on my vacation, always left Sunday after church or Monday, and I came back in church for next Sunday, except one time when I went to Hawaii. I couldn't do that, or that's the only time, but I'd done that. So we have to have this quality and this formal. So we see that we're to leave for God the things that belongs to God. God knows what to do. Then we do what God tells us to do. How do we know how to do God? Experiences and studying God's word. But make sure you've got that quality there. If you're saved, you need to build up. You just get saved, you still ain't no benefit for nothing. You're just saved from hell that day. So you've got to work and you've got to build that up. Too many of us takes that one time they get saved, and they could care less if the moon fell, you know. But see, when you get saved, you're not, the only thing you're better off about, you're going to heaven. That's what it is. But see, you gotta get the quality in that you can help someone else. How does God pay us for the things we do? Our children, our grandchildren comes along and lost. God helps us to get them to hear the word of the Lord and be saved. See, we don't stop and think. See, our future, we do not know how many children, grandchildren we're going to have. We don't know that. So then I always pray for those that are not saved, not even born. I prayed for my children as soon as the doctor told us they were on the way. And my friend, listen today, we need a formal, but that formal should be faith in God, trust in God, and having that quality to be able to work. Just everybody can't sing, not too. I couldn't sing. They were going to kill me. But everybody ain't supposed to be a preacher. But each one, if you're a good singer, you should exercise that singing. You should be exercise it pretty good. You know, I've seen people pray that it just seemed like they're praying a power from heaven when they got a hold of the Lord. We'll be through in just a little bit, but there's a few more things we'll talk about on this lesson tonight. So we're not to assume for ourselves the things that belongs to us. God take care of us. God has promised to help us. And if you remember Abraham and Lot, they separated. Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham went to the grass. Nothing there. But what happened? God took care of it. Years ago, I can remember, people from Russell County leave and go to Detroit. They go to Annapolis and them big cities. I remember this family over home went up north. They got a job in the automobile factory and didn't stay long. They come back. They said, "Why did you quit a job like that? I got four boys back there that ain't saved. I couldn't find nowhere where they preach the truth." That settles it. Yeah. That's determination, ain't it? That's determination. And so when God says you do that, He will take care of you. He'll help you provide for your family no matter where you're at. I know several people went north and come back. My mother-in-law was from over at Tompkins Hill. They moved up north and they didn't know no church up there. Brother Taylor ever started Bethel, I believe. And they would come home every year. Their revival, vacation, their revival was, my wife said, going to Gully Creek's revival. She didn't have no vacation. They took them every year. Wasn't nobody up there, no churches. Then when Brother Taylor come along and started Bethel, then they started going there. See, they were determined they was going to hear the gospel. I believe you have to hear the gospel from somebody before you can be saved. I believe you got to hear that gospel. And so then if we as parents, if we're that determination, but put those little children first, then and seek His will, then God's going to bless us. He's going to bless the church. He's going to help us to do the things that we should do. So in this lesson, we see that Israel failed the things that belonged to her. She just failed them, didn't do them. And God promised her the land. And because of disobedience, she was not allowed to keep it. Wasn't allowed to keep it. See, we can be, God could, I've seen people that started out, and I know some people, had some friends, started out on the right track, serving the Lord and going to church. Along the line, things got a little cold, got a little different. One of them went one way and one went the other way. It wasn't long, they're both out of work, they're both out of the home, lost everything they had. God is not going to let you get by with making things look bad toward Him. See, when we turn against God, look at that preacher, he quit. That preacher got drunk, that church member did, or this preacher run off with somebody else's wife or whatever. See, that don't look good on God. That don't look good on God. So when our children goes out in this world and does things that don't look good on us, we're not happy of it. No, we're not happy. But my friend, listen, if we've got the quality, everything will be all right. And so just one more thought here, and then we'll try to close. And we see that we don't know whether we'll die with cancer. We don't know whether that happened. My wife was talking the other day after she found out her cancer, of course she's always watching everything I do, and she said, "I thought you'd have got sick for me, And but we see, we don't know. We don't know when we're going to wake up the next morning and have cancer. We don't know that. So today, let's take this quality. We have the Bible to study. We have the church to come to. But I want to say this, and I'll be through just here in a minute. It's another thought I want. We're individually responsible for our lives. Romans 14:12 says, "So then every one of us shall," didn't say you might, "shall give an account of himself to God." We're accountable for our time. We're accountable for our time. We're accountable for our actions. And we're accountable for our ways. And we're accountable for our words, the things we say, the works we do, and for our money and of our life. And one verse of scripture I want to quote here said, "For none of us liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die, we die unto the Lord. Or whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's." So today, remember our responsibility as an individual. Every church member, I believe, is individual. They're responsible for who preaches from this pulpit. I believe every church member is responsible for who might sing, who might teach, So we all have the same responsibility. Because we're a preacher, because we're a deacon, we're not above you. But everybody is to pray. Make sure the quality is here and the right man fills your pulpit. They can preach the things with the touch of heart and to please God and upbuild the church. Our churches, it's not God's fault this building ain't full tonight. People laugh, boy, there ain't no way you can do it on Wednesday night. They used to fill them up on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and revival time. Church I was saved in and sat outside, come through the window. Pastor would give the altar call from six steps outside, and the helper would stay in the altar, and it would go. And so today, my friend, and then we as church people, we need to help. I'm going to close with this. I preached up in Detroit, 1969, Brother Ram was pastor. And I remember I preached to lost people, and they would some come to the altar. But there were so many people in that altar, I had to ask Brother Rand who was lost. The church people came in and prayed. See, that's how people get saved. The quality, we don't know which one might have the best idea, of trying to help someone be saved. That's my message. If you want to, we'll have a song, check in.